We're going to spend some time in God's Word together as we're continuing in our series in Proverbs. Let me get this up. If you want to turn to Proverbs, let me get you there. Proverbs chapter number 14 is where we'll begin. Proverbs 14. Let me turn there as well. Our verse for the night will be verse number 30, although we'll be looking at a few different ones. And I do believe I'll have them all on the screen for you tonight. So you feel free to turn, but if you can't keep up with turning, know that I'll have them up on the screen. And all right, and they'll stay up until we get to a second verse. Tonight we're looking at the topic, as we have been looking at various characteristics and what the book of Proverbs is teaching us, how to be wise, how to live in the fear of the Lord. And tonight's subject is envy and jealousy. Envy and jealousy. What does he tell us in Proverbs about envy and jealousy? Really, we're going to have just two major points. The first one that we'll get to this evening, just giving you a heads up, is going to be envy and jealousy are destructive. And it's destructive. But then our second point was going to be that envy and jealousy have a remedy. So we're going to see that it's destructive, but then we're going to see what Proverbs teaches us is the remedy for envy and jealousy. Now, when I was a teenager, I almost learned a very valuable lesson the hard way. I was at home one Saturday, and it was just me at home, and I was watching my favorite football team, the Ohio State Buckeyes. And like I would do every Saturday, I was just sitting there watching the TV. But as the game progressed, the Buckeyes weren't doing so good. I don't even remember who they were playing or the score. I think they ended up winning, but at the time I had no clue. And I was just getting madder and madder. And as the game went on, my anger just started boiling over. To one point, I got so mad at how my team was doing that I grabbed the remote and I threw it at the TV. And that's one of those moments. I don't know if you've ever had it, but that was one of those moments, and I can still picture it, where even though it happens in like a second, it seems like it's taken an hour as that remote is just slowly spinning going towards the TV. You ever had a moment like that? It's just all slow motion, and I'm sitting there thinking as that remote is flying through the air, oh no, what have I done? That is Dad's nice newer TV. I knew I was in big trouble. Now, I told you I almost learned a lesson. Thankfully, there was no damage actually done to the TV or the remote. I got so lucky, if you believe in luck, I got lucky that nothing happened when that TV hit that remote, or the remote hit the TV. But I learned a very valuable lesson that day, that my reaction to the events of the game had no influence on whether the Buckeyes would get better or not. Me throwing a remote did not change how they were playing. And instead, it would only lead to more trouble for me. If I couldn't control my anger, if I couldn't control that and how I reacted there, there was going to be more trouble. Tonight, while we're not talking about anger, the Bible says a similar thing about envy. That envy, it never helps a situation. It only makes things worse for you. It's only going to hurt you. It's not going to make things better to have envy or unrighteous jealousy. We can think there's all kinds of different movies or stories out there in our pop culture of such how such people or such examples of how this happens. One of my favorites is a kid's movie called Toy Story. Toy Story is about these little toys that are actually alive, but humans don't really know it. And it's a kid's movie. It's funny. Well, in this, there's a character named Woody. Woody is envious of the attention that the new toy Buzz is getting. And he was so envious of it that he almost ended up ruining the lives of both himself and Buzz, to the point Buzz was strapped to a rocket and Woody He had an arm ripped off, and a hole was being burned in his head. Now, he's just a toy, so don't think anything wrong with this. And that's a story. We see it in our cultures. People recognize it, that people have issues with envy. In our own lives, our envy of others can lead to our own destruction. It can lead to depression, low self-esteem, anger, bitterness, and many other issues. And that's exactly what Solomon is telling us. If you're with me in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30, Solomon is telling us through the Holy Spirit about jealousy and envy. And he's telling us jealousy does not help, it only hurts us. Look what it says in Proverbs 14, 30. A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. That's a pretty graphic picture, isn't it? I've never seen bones that are rotten, but you can just picture that in your mind. It's not a pretty picture, is it? He's saying envy makes the bones rot. In other words, jealousy, it has what's called a psychosomatic effect on you. It's an effect that's a mental effect that can make you literally sick. It can make you feel nauseous. It can make you have health issues. It has an effect on you. It's kind of like a cancer of your soul. That's what envy is. And so the first thing we're going to look at tonight is this is our theme verse. We're going to see other ones. And I wanted to show how Proverbs is telling us that envy and jealousy are destructive. Envy and jealousy are destructive, okay? One year when I was playing on a softball team, I was basically relegated to being simply a pinch runner on the team. And I was getting so envious because I sat there and said, you know, I'm good. I can catch, I can run, I can hit. I am really good, and I'm sitting here while others get to play. And I remember getting one week that I got really upset. We were having a triple header. It was a church softball league. We were playing three games on that day. And in the first game, all I got to do was pinch run for somebody. Somebody else hit, and they were too slow, so I just pinch ran for them. It was a type of league where you could pinch run somebody every single inning, and that other person can still bat. So I was pinch running. The second game, I played DH. I didn't even get to go out on the field. I at least got to hit. The third game, I was again sitting on the bench just waiting to be a pinch runner. Well, I was so irritated and upset. I was envious of others playing more than me when I thought I deserved it, that midway through the game, right before I was going to be put in as a pinch runner, you know what I did? I got up and I walked away and left. And the coach was looking for me. They needed me, and I had left. I was gone right before they needed me. But you know what? I didn't feel any better about it. It just kept building up in me. I was just getting angrier and angrier and more upset at it. And to make matters worse, when I got home that evening and my dad found out, you know what my dad made me do? The very next week for our next set of games, I had to show up to go play and pinch run. You see, it didn't help me. I didn't feel better. Instead, I ended up being embarrassed by going back. Solomon is right. Quitting on the team did not make being benched hurt any less. Instead, it only led to more embarrassment. Envy, as we would see, is it's making the bones rot. It's saying envy is when you want something that someone else has. And envy is destructive. So many of us want things that other people have. We envy their clothes, their homes, their cars, their jobs, their looks. We envy perhaps bank accounts or popularity, the other things they have that we desire, that we want. That is an attitude that is destructive. But the reverse can be just as bad. Jealousy sometimes looks like the craving to keep what is ours and not let it become someone else's. And so envy and jealousy are very closely related. One is wanting something somebody else has. Jealousy is not wanting anybody else to have what you have. I don't want them to have a car like mine. This is my car. I don't want them to have something as nice as me. In his commentary on Proverbs, Longman, he said, explains that both of these makes his own distinction between jealousy and envy when he writes, "Jealousy is the angry desire to keep what we possess and are afraid someone else wants, whereas envy is the angry desire for what someone else possesses." Though none of us really want to admit it, because it lets other people gain even more power over us, I would think we have all at one point have felt envy and jealousy. We all have felt it from time to time. We have all felt spider resentment when our peers succeed over us. We get jealous when people do better than us, out-achieve us. And even pastors deal with this. Why is their church bigger? Why is it growing? Why is ours declining? Why do they have so much money for ministry? Why are we drowning in debt? Why? See, pastors have these things too. Comparing to one another, envious of what's going on elsewhere. We get jealous for all sorts of reasons as people. We get suspicious that we might get replaced at work. Suspicious, maybe a new friend has come in the picture, and our close friend, they're leaving me for them. Worry that relationships will never be the same. Maybe concerned a single friend who got married and they're not spending as much time with us anymore. We have a hard time dealing with these things. We get envious and jealous. Jealousy happens in all kinds of situations in our lives. Jealousy is common in romantic relationships. You can't believe that, well, this isn't really for us. I think we're a little older. But you can't believe he liked another girl. She likes another guy. We compete for affection that we want for ourselves. We get worried if the church grows too much because I might lose my seat or I might lose a certain ministry I'm doing. And so we can become resentful of others. We get jealous for look. We get jealous for all kinds of stuff. Boy, I want muscles like that guy. I want to look like them. And so we talk bad about them. And you see, we find ourselves wishing that we can be as smart or as strong or as popular as others. Even social media, this is the worst. We all want to put ourselves in the best light, and we look at others and say, man, they got it made. The Bible condemns this kind of jealousy. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible does speak of a good jealousy, doesn't it? There is a good, legitimate jealousy. Like anger, jealousy is not always a bad thing. For instance, jealousy is not wrong when it involves an exclusive relationship being threatened. Think about it with God. God is jealous for his people. He's jealous that we worship him alone. It should be exclusively for God. And so he's jealous of that. And that is a righteous, that is a correct jealousy. God is jealous for his glory. We see that in Numbers 25:11. So that is a positive jealousy. You can also say the same if you're married for your spouse. All right? I should be jealous for my spouse. My wife should be jealous for me. She is mine. She's no other. She doesn't go to any other man. She's my wife. So there should be that jealousy for a husband and wife. And we have to remember when they're saying, hey, and your spouse is warning you to listen to them, to pay attention. So that's a good jealousy. But I want to look at the envy and jealousy that destroys, okay? We talked about it as being destructive, but the first one we see in our verse of 14:30 is how it destroys. First, it destroys you personally. Envy damages you emotionally, mentally, physically. As 14:30 tells us, it has harmful consequences to you. Whereas, if you are content, you notice it says a tranquil heart. That's another way of saying a content heart. A content heart gives life to the flesh. A content heart leads to physical, emotional, and physical well-being. Did I say physical twice? Physical, mental, and emotional well-being. This verse is really alluding to there's this curse for those who are envious, those who are jealous of others. Jealous is a cancer of the bones. That's what it's saying of bones rot. It's talking about a cancer. It eats away at you. When you are jealous, it can lead to anger all the time. It can, for some, it leads to hives. It can break out in hives. There are those who get eating disorders or uncontrolled rage, or you just don't think straight because you are so glued in on this. And when you walk around jealous and angry people, or when you walk around being jealous and angry, it ruins you emotionally. It's going to mess you up. A jealousy that finds its roots in checking out other people on social media can only discourage you. It can cause you not to be thankful for what you have. So not only it's destructive because it destroys you, but secondly, envy and jealousy will destroy others. For that, I look at Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 3 and 4. Proverbs 27, verse 3 and 4 says, a stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's provocation is heavier than both. Wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Now, what is that saying? The theme of these two verses here is unbearable behavior that other people cannot endure. They cannot handle. Do you get what the wise man is saying? He's saying violence is bad and temper is bad. They are both harmful to people. That's the first verse there. But and the second one, the wrath is cruel. So anger is bad, violence is bad, temper is bad. They harm people. But notice that. But who can stand before jealousy? He's saying jealousy is even worse. It's even more destructive than violence and a bad temper. When you are a jealous person, no one wants to be around you and all that drama. But they don't. It destroys friendships. Because here's a theory that stems from jealousy. You can't reason with somebody like this. There isn't moderation that they just have to have or have to hold. And so it destroys other people. Thirdly, envy and jealousy is destructive because it leads to other sins. We see an example of this in the Bible. Well, let me see. Can you think of an example of somebody who was jealous and it led to them doing other sins? Oh, yes, I hadn't thought of them, but you're right. They were jealous of him, and it led to other sins. Think of any others. Good one, Aaron. How about King Saul? King Saul, that's how he felt about David. And he was so upset at all of that attention David was getting that he thought he should have. And what did he try to do? He tried to kill David several times. He went after David. Jealousy led to other sins because at its root, it's a belief of the heart that what God has given you is not enough. God has not given me enough. That was the problem with Saul. That was the problem with Joseph's brothers. It wasn't enough. God is withholding his best from you. It's a dissatisfaction. It's a feeling of inadequacy. It causes you to lash out in all kinds of ways, whether it's violence or gossip or theft and so many more. Another way that envy leads to other sins is when you copy the behavior of prosperous and wicked people. The Bible says that envy of sinful people who seem to prosper leads to imitating their behavior. Notice what he says in Proverbs 24, verse 1 and 2. Be not envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their hearts devise violence and their lips talk of trouble. We may see evil people succeeding. It's saying, don't envy them. And jealousy of sinful people who are successful, it leads you to start adopting their lifestyle and their decisions. Instead, you should see that their behavior is despicable. You should see that you should not want to lower yourself to their level. You should be repulsed by what they do, not envious of what they're doing. They can be angry, they badmouth, they're bitter. And these are motivations to avoid jealousy. And then fourthly, envy and jealousy is destructive, and we find out that it will be judged. Several passages of Scripture warn us not to envy sinners who prosper, because God will judge. Wisdom tells us not to judge or not to join them. Proverbs 3, 31 and 32. Do not envy a man of violence. Do not choose any of his ways, for the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. The application of this verse is pretty clear. Do not be envious, and therefore don't copy the practices of the sinner. And don't be envious of them. It's tempting. It's tempting to be jealous of them succeeding. It's tempting to do what they're doing and having fun. I was talking with some of them about my recent deer hunting and saying how I can go and I sit out all day or sit out for hours and see absolutely nothing. And then I know that there's people out there, even in Charleston, who are having deer in their backyard and they're shooting them. And I'm sitting there going, boy, I could just take that gun and I can shoot that 8-point buck in my backyard and have, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking and I'm reasoning in my head, nobody will know. What if I just asked the neighbors if they would care? You see, I'm envious of others getting this buck, and then I'm sitting there thinking, should I break the law to do it? It's saying, look, that's wrong. That's not right. If it was not tempting, then so many people probably wouldn't find it so appealing, would they? There's this temptation in saying you're tempted to practice their behaviors. When ungodly people find themselves having all that they want, while godly people have very little, it could seem, what does it benefit me then to be godly? And we can start reasoning wrong. We are told to avoid this type of thinking. Well, why? Because look, as we see it's an abomination to the Lord, we find out that God is going to judge them. There is judgment coming. It's an abomination to the Lord. The prospering sinner is going to lose all that he has. And the righteous is going to be rewarded in the end. The upright are in his confidence, is what it says there. Having God's approval is so much more important. It's worth more than the good-looking things that the sinner has. God tells us to trust his word rather than experience, because the prosperity of the ungodly is only apparent, it is short-lived. And think of what it says in Proverbs 24, 19 and 20. Fret not yourself because of evildoers, and be not envious of the wicked, for the evil man has no future. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. Do you see that eternal perspective there of why this envy destroys you? It's because God is going to judge. Don't be jealous of sinners, and don't be jealous of what they have and what they're getting, because at some point that the tables are going to turn and they will be facing judgment. Notice those words. It's really important. Let's see if I can show it there. The evil man has what? No future. They have no future. It is foolish to adopt his ways, even for a few decades of pleasure, because what you have eternity to think about. They have no future. You have an eternal future as a Christian. It is clear from Proverbs that the wages of jealousy is death. It rots your bones. It destroys you, it destroys relationships, and ultimately, it is a path of destruction. It's the path of hell, is what envy is. It is a matter of life and death, in other words. Envy will eat at you. Envy will destroy you. And the Apostle Paul would even say in Galatians 5, I don't have this up here for us, but he tells us that jealousy of those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be jealous of those who aren't going to heaven. Don't jealous what they have. Be jealous of it. But I told you there is a remedy. Now, the verse we were just looking at, that's a negative warning, okay? A negative warning. But in Proverbs 23, 17 and 18, we have something that is better. Here is a positive, a promise. It says, let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Isn't that the exact opposite? The one who is envying the sinners, saying, look, the sinners, there is no future. Here's the opposite. With God, there is a future. So here's your quiz, looking at the verse. What is the remedy for envy and jealousy? Amen. Fear the Lord. It's what Proverbs is all about. Yes, it's wisdom, but it's saying, here's the wise person, they fear God. They fear the Lord. Here is our remedy. It's a very positive strategy for dealing with jealousy, dealing with envy, and it's the theme of Proverbs. Fear the Lord. It's as simple as that. It means to fight off envy, to fight off jealousy, is to trust the Lord, have full confidence in Him. Now, there's a temptation, yes, to be jealous of the evil, prosperous person. A temptation to copy their action. So what is the antidote to that temptation? It's finding contentment in God. Content in the Lord. What's the motivation for that contentment? Well, our verse tells us, here's the motivation. It's saying, you have a future. Your hope will not be cut off. It's talking about your eternal salvation. It's talking about heaven. Your motivation to be content in the Lord is to have an eternal perspective. Don't get caught up in the here and now. Think of what you have coming. Oh boy, it's so much better. Oh yes, people are living it up today. But think about it. This is the best they have for just a matter of a few years. As Christians, you have eternity with God. It's so much better. In light of eternity, if you fear the Lord, you experience eternal blessings. The wicked, they lose everything they have. And so if we think back to that previous verse, let me go back for a moment. In 24, 19, and 20, notice it talks here. There it is. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. The lamp is an interesting word choice there. Because we see the lamp is often used in Scripture. The lamp is connected to the line of David. It talks about a lamp of Israel. And God had a concern for the lamp of Israel. You know who the lamp of Israel was or what it is? It's talking about an heir. It's talking about the Messiah. In Psalm 132, that the lamp imagery was given to the Messiah. There was this hope of the lamp, the hope that of this preservation that would come through the Messiah, not by envying wicked people. It would come through the Lord. It would come through this line. There was a promise of an eternal kingdom. There was promise of eternal life that was coming through, I'd say, this lamp. There either had to be an eternal succession of faithful posterity, or eventually there had to be an eternal Son who lives forever. We actually see both with Jesus. When Jesus had come to the earth and died and was resurrected, we find out that we get to go into eternity. We get to have that lamp that lasts forever through Jesus Christ. And so what it's saying here, though, notice the opposite. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. Through the Messiah, through Christ, as we turn to Him, as we are jealous for Christ, we experience an eternal, abundant life. The life that God has meant for us to have. The wicked, their lamp's going to be put out. They don't have eternal life. But we do in Christ. That's what the book of Proverbs is really telling us. That we have a life to live. And the gospel itself is also a story about jealousy. Did you know that? Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 27, 17 and 18. It says, so when they had, this is the Jewish leaders, as this is Pilate, and Christ is before Pilate. And it says, the Bible says, so when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. The religious leaders who crucified Christ, why did they do it? They did it out of envy. The crowds he had, the following, the people who listened to his teaching. Not only is it the jealousy of the Jews that caused the death of Jesus, but Jesus died for all of our sins. It's our own jealousies, our own envies that he died for. He hung on the cross to pay the penalty of our sins. Sins of envy. Wanting something that God has not given to us. Every time we resent somebody who got a promotion, every time we get jealous of somebody who gets something nice, a new car or a nice house or something special, any time that we are envious or jealous of their popularity, or we get raged at their good looks, you know what we're doing? We're adding that sin that Jesus died for. Here's the good news. The good news is that God is jealous of having a relationship with you and me. God is jealous in the good way. He was so jealous for us, you know what he did? He sent his son to die on the cross. For God so loved the world, God wanted a relationship with us, and he sent his son to die on the cross for us. Even though the bride of Christ constantly turns from him, he sent him to die for us. So say this to ourselves. When we feel jealousy in our hearts, when we start to be envious of others, we should be reminded that Jesus came and died on the cross so that we would be satisfied in him. Say to yourself, I don't need those things that I so jealously want to have. I have Jesus, and he's all I need. I have eternal life. That is all I need. We have been jealous and envious. Jesus never was. He died for us to forgive us and save us. He is the one not only who forgave you for your jealousy, but he also empowers us to live a life free from envy and jealousy. So if we looked in Proverbs, it's a faith issue. The problem is not of effort, the problem is of belief. Do I really believe that God is enough, that Christ is enough? And do I really believe that God has given me all that I need? I hope the answer is yes. Your future hope in Christ is much greater than anything you can get today. So we need to fear God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you. You are enough. You are all I need, Lord. Help me, help us. In our days where we're envious, our days when we sit there and see wicked prospering and we're jealous of the things that we have we don't want others to have, Lord, help us to remember that you are all that we need. that Christ is enough. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, church, we're going to take a moment to look at our prayer sheets. And also, before we go into prayer, all right? I want to begin, as you see in the top